Hello and welcome to all you XE beasts to the Continue Club and to another edition of Retro Press X to Continue. This is the place where we relive our first iteration of your favourite podcast by bringing you some of the original episodes to new platforms for the first time ever. Now today, we're going back to November 2021. Again, what a month that was for Press X, eh? This is one of my favourite chats on the pod. We are speaking to the band Churches, creators, purveyors of absolute bangers, and also the makers of the theme tune to Death Stranding, which you will find on the Press X Ultimate Games playlist on Spotify, by the way. Now, we're talking to them in this one. Loved this conversation. They're a lovely bunch of lads, and they chat to us about their love of games, and it's really, really interesting. We also review Deathloop, which, when I think about it, doesn't really get much love these days. But it went down an absolute storm at the time. Anyway, sit back, listen in, and enjoy this one. It's nice to be back, isn't it?
Oh, it's a jam-packed show, Steph.
It is a jam-packed
show. Are we
going
to be able to fit all of that in?
I don't know, but I know.
Yeah?
You can probably hear it, can't you? Listen to that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a posh in the studio.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
The acoustics.
Hey! Listen to that. We're in a jazzy new studio, I know.
Let me tell you, it sounds great. It looks great. I hope the listeners and the viewers appreciate it.
And look, I'm Stefan. If you're new to Press X to Continue, then welcome along. Bring your hard hat and get ready for some disagreements. Welcome back to the regulars. Now, usually I'll do the news on Radio 1 and one extra, but when I'm not doing that, I'm trying to keep some semblance of order here on this BBC Sounds exclusive games podcast. Einel Tomlinson, you've already heard him, comedian, actor, streamer. I'm just going to stop there.
Oh, and not only that, this is series three of Press X to Continue, Steph.
Not one.
Come on.
Not two.
No.
But three.
Who else made it to three?
Well, we can't bring a rule. We find that not many people. No, we're not allowed to have the whole gang together with us, Einel, right?
No.
But from the comfort of her own bedroom, we've got Shay Thompson back. Hello, Shay.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for having me back with a different voice this time, a couple of octaves lower.
Have you just been practicing your delivery, or have you, what's going on?
I lost my voice the other day and it hasn't quite come back, but I'm rolling with it. It's like huskier and different.
I like it.
Sounds
mysterious.
Quite
it does.
You know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I just don't want to say it on air.
No, I know. Shay, I'm going to say it. Sounds quite sexy.
Oh, thank you.
It sounds like you could be doing those adverts for food on the telly. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like you're selling some Christmas mince pies or something.
This isn't a regular.
He said, "Oh, that's
mince
a voice
pie.
That sells pastry."
So, if you haven't met Shay before, she's a journalist and a games presenter, and home of the saltiest takes on Press X to Continue.
Salty. That's, you know what? I'm going to wear that with a badge of honour. Thank
yeah,
you.
Good.
Saltiest gaming takes.
And we've got comedian Glenn Moore with us in between appearances on Mock the Week. Say hello, Glenn.
Hello, it's me here with a voice that sounds like I'm advertising indigestion tablets. So very different.
But look, it's brilliant to have you all back. Let's crack on, right? Because there's lots happening. It's fantastic to be back, getting on with it, and loads to talk about. We've got our Deathloop review coming up. We've got our interview with Churches coming soon as well. But let's get up to speed first on some of the big goings on in the world of gaming. Netflix are in games now, I know. That's a thing.
It was on the cards, you know, Steph. Because remember when they did the Black Mirror special where people could interact and choose their decisions to go through the episode? Like, it was on the cards. It was on the cards. And, like, if you think about how massive gaming is, like, everyone playing gaming, especially during lockdown, a lot of people that weren't playing games before came back to playing games, got reunited with their love for it, and Netflix would be silly not to take it on.
They're smaller, sort of, you know, pick up and play, have 5 minutes with them, then move on sort of things.
Totally. I think it's such a smart move for them because, like, even over the lockdown, I've spoken to loads of people who want to get into games but don't feel that they're very dexterous. So, like, having games built into the Netflix infrastructure that's, like, kind of walking simulators that are smaller, more contained, but still powerful gaming experiences, it's bloody genius. It's so good.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's interesting to see whether they end up sort of with proper development studios, Glenn, isn't it? Or, you know, really getting into it. But, you know, like Shay said there, it makes perfect sense on their side, right, to be getting involved in this. We've seen Amazon do it with sort of varying degrees of success, and now it's Netflix. Are you playing any of them yet, Glenn?
No, I mean, it makes sense for if anyone hasn't owned a console before and doesn't want to take the plunge and buy an Xbox and then realize that they don't like it. So it sort of makes sense. But the game's going to be as simplistic as something like Bandersnatch, the Black Mirror one. Like, is it just choose your own adventure sort of stuff? Because you can do that with any film. You can just rewind a film and you can just watch Lord of the Rings and go, no, you guys are going through Mines of Moria again.
Budget, choose your own adventure. No, 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 it's
like, I think you'll find Gandalf. I will pass through here.
But then you can't actually change. The whole point of games is you can change the outcome. I can't change Lord of the Rings as much as I'd want to.
Yeah, you can change the order. You know, that's how games always end up.
I know some of us have played a lot of Pokemon Go in the past. Harry Potter Wizards Unite was like the sequel, I guess, if you will, from Niantic. That's coming to an end next year. Are you into those sort of AR games, Glenn? Did you like those ones where you're going around finding Pokemon?
They were very much of their time. And I think that was something that really was about 5 years ago. The augmented reality stuff came in, was huge for a very, very short amount of time, and then didn't really take the next step of development. It feels a bit like the era of 3D televisions about 10 years ago, where I think not enough people really got on board with it, and then it sort of got forgotten. So I think it sort of makes sense that that sort of thing is winding down. It's nice when Pokemon games like Let's Go Pikachu sort of kind of try to implement that within an existing games framework, but I think that era of gaming has sort of been and gone. It hasn't really landed.
Yeah, so Wizards Unite is sort of coming to an end, Einel. And they've announced, you might have missed this, that the people who made Pokemon Go and made Harry Potter Wizards Unite, they're also making a Pikmin game, or they've made a Pikmin Bloom, game, yeah, which is sort of another tie-in with Nintendo. They decided to move on from Harry Potter, which is a bit interesting because Harry Potter's a massive world that people want to get lost in, but maybe didn't quite cut through.
No, it didn't really connect with people the same way that Pokemon did. And I guess Pokemon connected with a lot of people due to the nostalgia, because it went back to the Gen 1 Pokemon of the original 151, and everybody got excited about it, and especially going out the house and things like that. Now the new Pikmin game's coming in, and it's a bit more simpler than the Pokemon game, where you're basically walking around. It's like an interactive step counter, where everywhere you go, it kind of flowers bloom where people pass. And I get what Glenn was saying about like maybe AR's died off, but then I look at how much Pokemon Go makes.
Yeah. Is Pokemon Go still going?
It makes billions.
It was such a common feature about 5 years ago to see people just stood zombie-like on the corners of streets, because that's when it was a huge fad. But I had no idea it was something that people are still doing as part of their lives. I haven't seen anyone.
They do huge like yearly festivals where people kind of get together in different cities.
And then they call themselves QAnon.
Right, like, if you're a big Pokemon Go fan, take that up with Glenn Moore, okay? I'm not getting involved.
Yeah, I know.
Something that dropped this morning that we'll no doubt talk more in depth about later on in the series is the big Animal Crossing update. I know that, you know, Shay and Einel especially were big into Animal Crossing. I thought it was a little bit dry. Anyway, so no doubt that'll be something that we will be talking about more in the series. If you've spotted something, by the way, that you like to hear the team's thoughts on and their opinions, then get in touch with us. And they know how to do that, Einel, don't they?
Yeah, get us on the socials. Hashtag PressX to continue. We're watching it.
And, you know, we're back now, so you can stop sliding in our DMs asking when we're coming back. Because we're here.
Do you know the amount of DMs I got?
Yeah, it's a lot. We're talking about games. Right then, okay.
Let's go.
Hey.
Oi! Oh, we got sounds now.
Hold on.
Let's go.
Hey, this new upgraded studio is the lick.
Look, we knew we got Shay on, so we had to have this one.
So you can.
I mean, it's going to be happening a lot, I reckon, with some of these spicy gaming takes, because inevitably you guys are going to be wrong about something.
We do need emergency meetings.
Yeah, that's when it kicks off.
Yeah, that's when it kicks off.
That's the whole of the game discussions.
Yeah, it is. Well, let's get ready to kick off. Deathloop, let's get into this. It's a game with a heck of a soundtrack for a kickoff. Some people, they're calling it Game of the Year. It's a first-person shooter. It's much more than that. It's a PlayStation 5 timed exclusive. You can get on the PC, but will eventually be available on Xbox, but not yet. It's going to set you back about £60, but I have seen some deals.
Okay.
Okay, now it's loved by critics. Let's start with you then, Einel.
I absolutely loved it. First off, a AAA title with two black main characters. It's spoke to me straight away. I was like, come on, sign me up. And it's not just that, but fantastic performances by both the main leads, particularly Jason Kelly, who plays Colt. You love him straight away. You just get his personality and you get him and you get the predicament that he puts you into. And when you first look at it, it looks like a simple kind of first-person shooter. You got to just kill people, but it's more than that. It's like a timey-wimey loop game where at the end of the day loops over. And there's many different areas you can kind of go to in order to kind of figure out how to kind of break this loop and break the cycle and free Colt from his nightmare.
Were you into Colt, Shay? Were you into the storyline? Did you buy into it?
Yeah, like when it was announced, I was like, Arkane have reached into my brain and plucked out everything I like and have put it into a video game. I was so on board with it initially, like the sort of 60s era spy aesthetic that they went with. I was like, this is really cool. Colt, yeah, like you said, is a great character, and the way he interacts with Juliana, like their sort of cat and mouse relationship, is like brilliant. I described Deathloop as like one of my favorite games that I've enjoyed playing the least. And I realized it's because I don't like immersive sims. So more than it being like a first-person shooter, immersive sims are games where player choice is emphasized. And I dig all of that, all of the emergent storytelling, but after a while, it just starts to feel like work.
Did it feel like work for you, Glenn?
To some extent, yes, but in a way that I enjoyed.
So, start that again. Is that a yes or a no, Glenn?
it's a yes, but I enjoyed it. So I like, in any game like Disco Elysium or a murder mystery-esque sort of game, where you find yourself so into it that by the end of your playing session, you almost feel compelled to get a notepad and pen out and go, right, here's what I need to do in the game tomorrow. And I've got this list of things that I need to do. And I really, really like that aspect of Deathloop, because yes, it's marketed as this game where, okay, there's 7 or 8 targets that you need to kill in one day. The game doesn't lend itself well to the idea of speed running or anything like that. When you start the game, it is physically impossible for you to kill everyone the first time you play it. In fact, I'd say the game is actually a fairly linear action game that's made up of about 8 campaign missions, because you need to kill each of the targets individually. And even killing them is not easy, because you might find, okay, I'll try and kill this person in the evening. The house is locked in the evening, so you go back in the afternoon, and then you find out that the house is burnt down. So you're like, okay, I'll have to go back in the morning to collect this thing. And so it ends up being this real sort of intricate maze and puzzle where you are having to keep track of loads and loads of different aspects. Yeah. I loved how intricate that side of it was. I'd say the only downside to it was sometimes frustrating when the game led you down these little breadcrumb trails that didn't actually lead directly to the assassination of anyone. There was one little machine in one of the areas that's like a quiz machine. It asks you 10 different questions about the history of the island that the game is set on. And I was like, oh, if I get these right, there's going to be a huge reward at the end of this. There's nothing. And I spent ages on it. There's nothing. And I'm saying this. I'm saying this. If you're listening and you're about to play the game, I'm saying this to help you. Do not do the quiz machine. It made me so upset.
For me, like, I think it's really fun to play. It's quite fluid. The gameplay, the gunplay is quite fun.
Yes.
The characterization is very fun. I wonder whether critics like this more than most gamers. I think it is brilliant, but there's something missing for me. I don't know what it is. The plot's intriguing. The voice acting is great. It's fluid gameplay. It looks nice.
Yeah.
The music is wicked. We've already heard some of the music. Why don't I care more about this game?
Stefan, did you play the multiplayer though?
That's just not for... I don't want to be invaded in people's games.
This is the disconnect. This is the disconnect. This is what, for me, brought the whole game together. You're playing as Colt the entire way through, and you're enjoying, and you're doing the mystery solving, and you're the puzzle solving, and you're taking out the different people. But then when you flip over and you play as Juliana, you see it from a completely different perspective. You feel different as you're playing in this world, and like the whole world changes, and your perception of the world changes, and how you maneuver through it. As you're with Colt, a lot of the time you're sneaking around, you're hiding, trying to take people out discreetly. As Juliana, you're playing the game as almost like, as Shay was saying before, as a cat. It's like a cat and mouse thing. You know there's a cult out there, a real player, and you're stalking them, and you're hiding, and you're waiting for them, you're setting traps, and you're just waiting for them to fall into them, and then you just pounce. Yeah. And it really changes your whole perception of the game to when you go back to playing as cult, you're like, I get it.
I get it.
Well, look, so, Shay, we know that it's a critic's darling. We know that some people are calling it Game of the Year. What do you think the Metacritic score was for this, then, if you had to guess? Oh. What was the overall consensus?
Despite what I said, I'm going to say 72. I'm going to say...
That's low.
Oh, okay.
That's really
low. That's
low.
I thought that was really high.
Jesus.
I thought I was being nice. Never mind. 72. Do I stick to my guns on this?
I tell you what, that sounds like a whore you kid, that is.
Yes, she is.
Whore you kid!
There she is. 72 for Shay.
72.
Glenn, what are you saying?
Much higher, but only because of what I'm aware that I do believe that critics liked it a lot more than the public. I had so much fun with it, but not say, as and it probably is my game of the year, but I didn't have significantly more fun playing it than I did something like, say, Far Cry 6, which sort of Far Cry games always get trashed by reviewers. It's trying to do something so different, and that should be so welcome that even though it is flawed in some places, like the storyline isn't wrapped up in that satisfying a way, it's a lot more linear than some people might want it to be. And also the AI is terrible. The enemy AI is really embarrassing. It is so original as a game, and you really hope it is going to be influential. So I reckon... I don't think it's above 90. I'd reckon probably about 89, 88.
Pick one of those numbers, Glenn. That's two numbers you've given me there. You've got 89. 89. I know what you say.
I think 88. I think a lot of critics loved it. I think a lot of people loved it. I've not heard anybody say they hated the game or they were disappointed. I think a lot of people enjoyed it. I think a lot of people probably thought they wanted more from it.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I think, yeah, 88.
Well, look, one of us... is getting, if Rage was here, who's one of our regulars from previous series, she's got the old party poppers.
Oh, did someone hit it?
Someone's got someone the number on the nail on the head.
Oh,
someone's
got don't tell me, God, don't tell me, Shay.
Stealing my number.
And the person getting the party popper this week for getting the correct Metacritic score on the PS5, Deathloop has a score of 88. Congratulations,
hey,
come on.
Thanks, Glenn. No. I'd like to thank
Shay's 72.
Bam.
Wow.
I thought I was being really generous. Wow.
I see what you're saying, though. For me, it's about a 15-hour game, isn't it? I'd probably spend about 7-8 hours with it. And I was like, you know what? I'm cool with that. I'm done. Yeah. I've had a nice time. I'm moving on. And that's fine. But obviously, I, Nell, and Glenn, big fans. The critics, big fans. What do you think, then? Is it a Hall of Game option? Get in touch with us, hashtag PressX to continue on social media. We'd love to hear from you. So many of you getting in touch with us with ideas about the Hall of Game already, which is wicked to see. Mm-hmm. Now, I had a bit of a bad tech week this week.
What's happened?
So when I lost my phone, I left it on the bus, which is upsetting, okay? Oh. But also, my PS5's broken.
You what?
No.
PS5's done.
Oh. What do you mean it's done?
The retimer chip, apparently, didn't work anymore.
What's the retimer chip?
Thank you to everybody who messaged me on Twitter to try to help me fix this. Which is partly the reason why I didn't actually finish Deathloop, because I couldn't get on it on my PS4. I've been playing this. I don't think this quite deserves a full review of the Press X to continue type, but I have been playing a brilliant game called Circuit Superstars, which has got also a banging soundtrack, by the way. Yeah. It's like Micro Machines. There it is. It's like the 80s coming back into years there. It's like Micro Machines, but for serious racing games.
Oh.
And I tell you what.
This feels like because your PS5 is broken, you've just had to resort to... Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like when your TV channels don't work and you're like, actually, do you know what? CFAX is really good. There's a lot of good stuff on it, man. Honestly, we should all start reading CFAX more often.
We could book a holiday for that.
So it's called Circuit Superstars, right? It's like Micro Machines. It's a sort of top-down old-school racer. Really fun, pretty little graphics. It only costs you 15 quid. It's an Xbox or PC game. It's an indie title published by Square Enix Collective. Now, I know you're a big racing game fan, Shay. This, I would say, I know there's loads of big racing games out at the moment. Forza Horizons is out, whatever. Pick this up. You'll have a great time. It's like serious, silly, cartoony racing game.
Honestly, you sold me with the soundtrack. Like, I'm digging it. Sort of 80s inspired. Yeah, I'm into it. Check it out.
While you guys were, you know, really getting to grips with Game of the Year contender Deathloop, I was playing Circuit Superstars.
I'm down. It sounds cool. I love the original, like, Micro Machine games.
Yeah.
And then also, I know Hot Wheels has just come out, and that's supposed to be very good. So I want to check that out as well. So, yeah, Circuit, I'm there.
Well, look, it's different. Like I said, Micro Machines is a silly version of it, but it's a really interesting blend of that sort of top-down aesthetic and that cartoony aesthetic, but with like a serious racing sim underneath the bonnet. It's quite interesting.
I like that.
If you're into racing games, I reckon you should go and check that out. Circuit Superstars, something to think about. Right, anything you think we should be playing, anything you think we should be reviewing, then get in touch with us here. Hashtag PressX to continue on social media. We would love to hear from you. And also, if you disagree with what people have been saying about the games we've been talking about, Einel, then take it up with them personally. I do not want to get involved on social media. Right, next up, this band, I've loved them for years, and it was an absolute joy to get a chat to them on the podcast. Churches, who made an absolute tune for Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding.
They did, yeah.
Called Death Stranding, original title. Amazing game, amazing song. And I tell you what, we've been chatting to them for the podcast because they're not done yet when it comes to music and games.
I play everywhere humanly possible. I have a Switch. And I used to take a flip top PlayStation thing that had like a screen built into it.
It's almost like a suitcase, but it's just got a console in the middle.
Yeah, and then I graduated to like a gaming laptop. So I always like to have like at least a Switch so that it's available for planes and stuff, and then a laptop for like on the bus. But if we can find a game that we're all buzzing on, it's a great way to keep us out of the pub as well. So we'll just sit on the bus and played like, I guess the last one was Diablo 3 on Switch. We were playing that all night, every night after the show. Instead of partying, we'd just be sitting on the bus playing the Switch. So the games are a huge part of touring.
I feel like that's the game that I've bought more than any other game. First came out on the PC, then it was like PS3, Xbox One, Switch, PS4, bought it again, I think, for that.
Yep.
Is that it? No, there's got to be another one. I just felt like I bought it about six times.
So when you play on the bus then, you're playing Diablo together, you know, it's not competitive, but you're sharing a journey, an experience at the same time sort of thing, watching each other play.
Yeah.
Competitive games can kind of bring out the worst in people, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Luckily for us, it got to the size where we needed an extra bus. Because of all the equipment and all the crew members. So when the crew guys were on our bus, we used to play 50 quid a game FIFA in the back lounge.
Oh my gosh, the stress of that. 50 quid a game. Wow.
That got so heated, man. That was like, that was a bit much. Like, even for me, I'm like, that is a bit much. People were angry over that stuff. Ian, you never got involved in any of that stuff. You're a much more pure gamer, but there was degenerate gambling going on in the back lounge over games of FIFA. Friendships were broken on those nights, man.
So you weren't in the pub, but you were finding other ways of falling out with each other.
Yeah.
Gaming at that early stage, sort of, you know, the 80s, 90s, when gaming was sort of in its infancy, I suppose. Game music had a very certain, a very particular sound, didn't it? Do you think that influenced you, Ian, in terms of your, you know, the music that you make now or the music you listen to since?
Do you know, as much as gaming has always been, apart from maybe for like 4 or 5 years when girls kind of drew my attention a little bit more, it hasn't really had a massive effect on my musical output. I always feel like films have had much more of an impact on what I do musically. And games to me, you know, I love game music, but I don't really have a lot of music from video games that I sit down and actually actively listen to, you know? I mean, I just bought a box set of Final Fantasy XIV vinyl, which is still in its wrapper. It's a beautiful box and I'm glad that I own it, but I'm not just going to go and sit and put that on of an evening. Yeah. I might end up single.
I'm the same, actually. I always, especially in the early days when it was like chiptune music, like that whole, there's always been a scene for that.
Mm.
And I've always just thought it was a bit too fun. Like I was definitely be taking more inspiration from cinema than I was from games. Mm. Although there are some things that stand the test of time, like some of those Zelda soundtracks, the latter Zelda scores are pretty cool. And like, not to make everything about Death Stranding or about Kojima, but that's a guy who's always really, and take us out of it for a second, like really put effort into furthering, you know, the idea of a score or the idea of how games interact with music, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you think with that experience of, since we're talking about Death Stranding and obviously, you know, involved in that project, but has that given you a taste of maybe wanting to do more or trying to break down this barrier where, you know, game music is a sort of sometimes just a bit of background that is there to create an ambience, but isn't something that you would go and listen to separately?
Yeah.
Is that, what do you think, Ian?
I've always kind of struggled with that about film music as well. Like maybe 15 years ago or 10 years ago before I started this band, all I wanted to do was like write film music. But the more time has gone by, the more I kind of feel like I'm not really sure that I'm totally in love with the idea of music and film. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what's kind of shifted in me. Like a lot of the time it just feels like background music. And you know, if you take it like the iconic scores of the 80s and the 70s and 60s, you know, Bernard Herrmann, John Williams, Jerry Goldsmith and all that, a lot of it's just kind of passes by and people don't notice it. Not that I think all music should be noticed, you know what I mean? But, you know, I often just think it's there to support what else is going on rather than sort of be enjoyed fully as a piece of music. And, you know, that's something that I kind of always struggled with. And I think the same is largely true of video games. But that said, I'd love to do more stuff with video games with the band, particularly if you know, if Mr. Kojima's listening, then, you know, give us a shout. You know where we are.
Yeah. What about you, man? Would you like to do more? Has it piqued your interest?
Oh, very much so. I think, but as a band, I think that it's inevitable that we're going to score a game at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we did the Mirror's Edge thing, into Death Stranding, into like all of our passion in the gaming industry. You know, we're not going to stop making records or putting out songs, but in parallel, it's only a matter of time until we find a gaming project that's longer form that we can really sink our teeth into, especially with Ian's background in film composition. It sounds like I'm applying for a job now, and I'm not. It's not supposed to sound like that. Well, I think it's we've got the pedigree as well. It's like, no, I think that in order to really score a game, you have to understand games, and you won't meet two more gamer-obsessed musicians than us, like, seriously.
I think what I'd be looking for personally for that kind of project would be something where music has more of a pivotal role, where music can be really part of the experience rather than just a backdrop to somebody's story, you know? And I don't really know what that would look like. But I mean, you think about the work of like Mizuguchi and stuff, like with Tetris Effect and Lumines and all those games, where you're playing, and Res, of course, probably the best known one for that, where you're actually making the music, or you're like, and so you're in some way influencing the music with your gameplay. The faster and better you play, the more the music develops. And I love that. And I love how it kind of goes under the radar. Like you can feel that you're doing something rather than intellectually be like, okay, well, this is the hi-hat pattern. And, you know, stuff like that where it actually becomes part of the experience and part of the emotion of playing the game, I think is interesting to me.
Would you stop at making the soundtrack? Would you even think about, you know, directing a game?
Wouldn't know where to start.
Much like I don't have a desire to make films either, because or games, just because I think it's such a, like, you really need to put the 10,000 hours in to even begin on that journey.
You see, Ian, I had a look at the games that you play or playing at the moment. They're quite dark games that you're into.
Like, really?
So just have a look. Well, just have a look. You know, like Doom, Eternal, as fun.
Quite dark.
Frantic was quite dark. Aliens Fireteam, that's quite dark. Returnal, That's quite dark. Diablo, we've just talked about. That's also quite dark. Are you okay? Are you feeling all right? Is everything?
Yeah, no. I, as a kid and now, I've always been obsessed with I've always been more drawn to the darker side of art. You know, whether films or books or music. So it's just my jam, you know.
Martin, are your games as dark as Ian's current selections?
Do you know what's funny? I was like, can you send over a list of games? And I was like, I don't even need to send over a list of games because I only play one game right now. Since it came out like 7 years ago, all other games have just sort of faded into the background. And I'm like, I think I might be a lifer on Destiny at this point.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's not just that I'm obsessed with the game, which I am. And it's not just that it's the best gunplay that you can get anywhere, which it is. It's that I've now built up such a community of friends on there that it's, and especially during the pandemic, that they've become like an extension of your social group. Mm. And that every night is about, oh, we're going to get on Destiny and we're going to raid. Watching that game grow and develop over the last 7 years has been really an interesting thing and a really fun thing. And you kind of fall in and out of it. And so I'm only playing one game.
Yeah.
And it's that, and I'm playing it every night.
So here's an interesting question for you there, Martin. I wonder if you can help me with this. I loved the first Destiny. I played it, enjoyed it. I enjoyed it better when Nolan North took over the voice acting of Ghost.
Yeah.
Shade on the Dinklage.
Dinklage is one of my Tyrion Lannister is one of my favorite characters of all time in books and TV. But it wasn't suited to Ghost. Anyway, but I started a bit with Destiny 2 because actually humble brag, we went behind the scenes with Bungie to do to film and to have a look at the making the game before it came out. And then I sort of didn't find that community immediately and drifted off and played other things. Is there a time for people like me to maybe get drawn back into it? Oh, actually, am I better off playing something else and waiting for ultimately Destiny 3, which will no doubt, or a big DLC that will come, you know, in months, years to come?
Well, the answer is I understand the intimidation thing because even if I leave for 2 or 3 months, I'm like, okay, here we go. I have to try and figure out so many aspects. Add me on a PlayStation, jump on with me and my clan mates, and we'll take you through a few things, get you back up to speed.
That sounds like a great idea. Yeah, I'll definitely have to hit you up with that. That sounds fantastic. Yeah. So the more basically, my lockdown game was Warzone. That's what I did. That's what my pals were playing. Everybody.
Yep.
And the world and his wife were playing Warzone in lockdown, weren't they? And it was the big one. But I've just started. I've been playing Deathloop at the moment.
Talking
of soundtracks, wicked soundtrack for Deathloop is really creates a sense of play. So that's what I'm playing at the moment. But I'd just like to, let's finish up with this one. So what we do when we get people on the podcast is we've got a feature called, and you like this, it's clever this, it's called Hall of Game.
See, that's very good. Yeah, it's very good.
I see where you're going here. Yeah,
Street Fighter 2 is in there. GoldenEye is in there. Fortnite is in there. The Last of Us Part 2 is in there. Halo 3 is in there. Mass Effect 2. So there's about 15 games in there so far. So between the two of you, what would you come up with as you know, a game that deserves a place to be recognised amongst the best?
You want us to agree on one?
Ian, I think we could agree in seconds. I think we are actually both.
I think I know what you're going to say.
If you search inside your heart.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Then you say it.
Well, Mario Kart.
Yes. Mario Kart. Come on.
Mario Kart probably doubled that.
Mario Kart 64 is actually in there already because a big discussion as to which Mario Kart should go in. And we had some very angry Twitter messages when Double Dash didn't get selected. So
Double Dash was one of the things that Martin and I really bonded over as friends, back in sort of 2005, six, maybe five.
Yep.
I think that is a really important game for us and probably will always be, particularly Double Dash, even though we played, you know, the new one.
Yeah, next tour, get your Mario Kart League back out. So, that would have been a really perfect bit of editing then. I might have to, just politely push you back and see, is there something that perhaps isn't?
Here's another option. What about Advance Wars?
Oh, yeah. Or like War, let's go War, Advanced Wars, because that brings back to me memories of a somewhat ill-fated, but my first ever tour of America, which was with Ian's band at the time, Aerogram. And we would play Advance Wars on the Nintendo DS.
It was the flip shell one, wasn't it?
Yeah, every single day for 6-7 hours in the van to get past the monotony of like having to drive to every show. And man, some of those battles got heated.
Oh gosh, some people took defeat a little bit less graciously than others, let's put it that way.
There were no 50 quid. There were no 50 quid bets on Advance Wars.
No, we couldn't afford it back then.
No.
Well, thank you very much to the boys for finding the time to speak with us in the middle of a super busy schedule. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to getting some Destiny time in. Ooh. With Martin. Now, that got me thinking, though. So they want to score a video game, Inel.
Mm-hmm.
What band or artist, if you could pick anybody in the world to go and make music for a game, who would it be?
Do you know what? As controversial as he may be in some of the things he may say, if you sat down and probably got Kanye West to make a soundtrack for a video game, it would be fire.
Do you think?
I think it would be.
I mean, Glenn likes it. He shouted it.
I was going to say exactly the same thing, but I think on the basis that the game is also about him, I don't think he would ever provide songs that are about a character that is not Kanye West.
So you were Kanye West the game?
Yeah, 100%. He'd be great in like a new Mafia game or something like that. You can put him in any game. You can put him in Final Fantasy. No one would bat an eyelid.
You know what? He's got the wardrobe for it. So yeah, I'm on board with this idea.
Okay, no, fine.
He's dressed like a Jedi before. He can genuinely be in anything. Yeah. Most versatile mind of his time.
I would love to see a rhythm game scored by Missy Elliott. That
changing my mind and going what she said. I'm saying go what she said.
Is that how it works though? Is it we change our minds every 10 seconds?
Yeah, come on. That was a great suggestion.
Flipping heck.
There she is.
There she is.
That's a fantastic. What? Missy Elliott?
Missy Elliott.
Her music videos are timeless. And like the dance sequences and the choreography in all of her music videos, you always copy when you're in the club. Now, if she was to make a music dance rhythm game, I'm down for it. Every dance game I've played that has a Missy Elliott song in it, I'm always playing her ones. Dance Central, she had a bunch. Just Dance, she had a bunch. Hey, the Missy Elliott game, I'm playing it.
Okay, so Missy Elliott or Kanye West are our suggestions then for this. Have you got any suggestions? Who would you like to see score a game other than Churches, of course, because they sound like they're going to go and do it. Hashtag press X to continue.
Let's go.
Well, we're moving on now.
Yeah, I love these transitions.
Hey,
let's go.
We've got a bit of twist on our beloved, our prestigious, our groundbreaking, our iconic, if you will, Hall of Game feature to finish off, okay?
There you go. We didn't have a soundtrack for it, so I thought I'd
next
help you
out.
Next
week.
In fact, what we're going to do, we're just going to clip you up.
Oh, okay.
We're just going to clip you up. and I'm using that every week.
It sounds like we're in Bloodborne.
We suddenly realised, right, that our glorious Hall of Game was getting too full. It was getting too busy in there.
It's quite packed.
You know, we've got classics like Mass Effect 2, Mario Kart 64. We've got, well, talking of Mario Kart.
Let's go.
We got Metal Gear Solid's in there, GoldenEye's in there. Mm. So instead of putting a game in every week, we've decided to challenge you, the loyal Press X to continue listener, to add your favourite game into the hall. Now, no guarantees that we're going to put it in, but we're going to give you the chance to give it a big sell, to come on the podcast, to tell us what you think should go in there. Now, loads of you have already made suggestions. Keep them coming in on social media. But this week, Emma's joining us to do just that. She is on the line. Hello, Emma.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
Now, Emma, we are sat here waiting with bated breath of all the games that have gone over the years. You have got your pick of every single title pretty much that has ever been published.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that deserves a place. And remember, the prestigious, the iconic Hall of Game. Uh-huh. What are you suggesting that we put in there?
I am suggesting Returnal, which is a new one, isn't it? Compared to everything else in there.
There it is.
Loving this music.
Let's get into it. It's very atmospheric, isn't it, Em? Mm.
It is, yeah. It's atmospheric. It's slick. It's got aliens. with tentacles. Like, what more do you want?
She is big on the tentacles, by the looks of it.
It's
the alien
amazing.
Tentacles, she. Get your head out of the gutter. You know, this is what I've got to deal with, Emma, in this podcast, you know? Yeah, raise me from tentacles. What else have you got?
We've got a haunted protagonist with a troubled past. Who doesn't love that? There's kind of a Silent Hill PT horror feel to it, which kind of breaks up the very chaotic kind of neon, just super heaven. I don't even know what words I'm saying. It's just amazing. I just love it.
Okay, Aina, what are you thinking then? Emma's gone Returnal. There's tentacles. There's a great storyline. It's atmospheric. You can hear her passion. Is it enough to get in the hall again?
Well, the tentacles, I think it was made. She made it sound like that was the major selling point. I will add the dual sense functionality and the features of that are very cool. It's a very hard game. And I have to say, I don't think I've finished it.
Yeah, you're not a game finisher, though. We've had this
That's
before.
That's true, you're not a game finisher. It's a great suggestion. It's probably the newest title to ever be suggested for the
that is
Hall
true.
Of Game.
Glenn, what are you thinking?
Returnal is really, really hard and punishing. And I remember the third area in particular, I just kept being sent back, losing, you know, a good couple of hours progress at a time. But as soon as I was past that, I did the rest of the game in one run, and it feels so satisfying. Now, I wouldn't say that the gameplay would put it in the Hall of Game. I wouldn't say the visuals of a storyline would put it in the Hall of Game. I would genuinely, because of how revolutionary it is, I would say based on one button, it should go in the Hall of Game, and that is the trigger for when you fire your weapon. I'd never experienced anything like that. But if you've got like a machine gun, you pull down the trigger button and it fires like a normal machine gun, but the PS5 stops you from going any further. You have to then click it in and then it becomes an alternative fire weapon. It literally changes the controller in your hands. I've never experienced anything like that before, and I would genuinely, because of how new and revolutionary that is, put it in the Hall of Game purely for a button play.
Just for one button for Glenn Shea. What do you think?
Genuinely.
Yeah.
I am the anti-roguelike crusader. It's just a genre that...
Why does that surprise me? Why doesn't it surprise me?
I've never been able to get on board with them. I totally get the whole fun of like improving your runs and trying to best yourself, but I don't know. Like the aesthetic for Returnal looks so cool. Like if we're going on that alone, then sure. But roguelikes just make me want to fight. I can't.
Well, you're probably suited to the game. That's literally what I ask you to do.
Now, Emma, I'll give you one last sentence to finish off your thoughts.
Okay, I think for me, it was my first roguelike and I didn't expect to love it as much as I could. And it just challenged me to be a better gamer altogether and just changed the way I view games forever.
Now, okay, Emma, we had a democracy here on Press X to continue.
Love that.
The four of us are going to get a vote. I've got the casting vote. Just if it's a tie, I'll have the casting vote. I'm just saying that's how it works. Just Strictly Come Dancing. Okay, I'm sorry.
Powerful.
I don't make the rules. I do make the rules. That's the rules. Aynel.
I'm going to say, sorry, no.
It's a no from Aynel. Okay. Shay.
It is a compelling argument and I totally see it, even though roguelikes aren't my thing. I'm going to say yes.
Shay with a yes.
I know.
A little twist from Shay.
Turned over a new leaf for the new season.
I did not see that coming.
It was the tentacles.
It was the tentacles. Glenn, what are you saying? Yes or no for Returnal?
It's not even my favourite roguelike. I prefer Hades, but I, again, going back to my point earlier, yes, I'd put Returnal in the Hall of Game.
Okay, that's a yes from Glenn, which means... Oh, my word.
I'm nervous.
Oh, the power. Oh, it's gone in my head.
Look at him sitting up in his seat.
I'm just...
holding out his thumb like a Roman emperor.
Okay, Emma, it's a very compelling argument. And I'm tempted to put it in just so I can hear Aynel sing the Hall of Game vocal one more time. But...
Oh, no.
For me, I think that we can't have every roguelike in the world in the Hall of Game. Mm-hmm. I think we've heard before about how fantastic Hades is and is a Hall of Game title. So therefore, I am not going to put Returnal into the Hall of Game. Because Emma, you made a very strong case and the argument about the button is especially powerful. But you know what? I want to set a precedent, right? I'm setting a precedent here. We're not just putting any old thing in the Hall of Game. But Emma, I have to say, very well argued.
It was.
So I think Emma deserves a round of applause.
I do take the compliment.
you know, yeah, it's I'm hard to be the first integrity. One. Yeah, you've been the first one. You've come on. You've given it a good old stab. Well done.
Don't
Thank
worry,
you very
Emma.
Much
I'm
time.
Sure that we're going to get a lot of feedback in the comments.
A lot.
You know what's actually interesting? Returnal won a big award at Develop the other day's Game of the Year because it is a fantastic game. It's a fantastic game. Do you know who gave the award out? Me.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
It's been awkward, actually. I take it back. It should go in the Hall of Game. No, it is. It's an amazing game, Emma. It's got 85 Metacritic score. But not. We're setting a strict guidelines here. We can't have everything in the Hall of Game.
You literally gave out the award and then took it back.
That is really savage.
It's a lovely game and very well made, just not for the Hall of Game. Emma, thank you very much
totally
for joining
fair.
Us. It's been
Thanks
lovely
so
to have
much,
you on
guys.
The podcast.
Thanks, Emma.
Bye-bye.
Thank
See you soon.
Bye.
Thanks. Can you hear that? Listen to that.
Creaky.
That's the...
Yeah.
That's the doors closing.
Need some oil.
Aina, just give us the old voice one more time.
Changed so many times.
All right. No, because what I'm doing, Shay, is I'm giving the variations and then they'll put them together and then they'll harmonize one song.
Remember, you keep your thoughts coming in. What do you want to see in the Hall of Game? Come and pitch it to the Press X team and we'll put it in or not put it in like this week. Hashtag Press X to continue. Right, that is it for episode one of the third series. Can I just say, it's so brilliant to be back with you.
It feels so good to be back.
It's so amazing. Thank you, Glenn. Lovely to see you again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Shay, too, it's been brilliant to see you. Glenn, we need to think of a sound effect for you because I keep having this for Shay.
So you can...
So let's get a Glenn sound effects ready for next time you're on.
Yes, please. Excited and terrified already. I think I'd like either the Dark Souls whenever you enter a new location noise or Tim Allen in Home Improvement going,
Okay, it has to be that.
Thanks for sticking with us here in the Continue Club. We will see you on Tuesday for the next episode of Press X, All Things Being Equal. It should be the first ever live episode that we've done, recorded this Friday at the London Games Festival. So fingers crossed it all works, and if it does, we'll see you on Tuesday. If not, we'll be back soon.